The text we shall be considering will be taken from Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And the title for this message is Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. I guess for our personal concern, how can we ensure that our prayers are successful? You may be like Daniel the prophet here, who's known the Lord for many years. So hopefully this will be a reminder of the elements to ensure a successful prayer. Or maybe you're yet to know the mercy, you're yet to know the Lord personally. This also can act as a direction how your prayers may be answered. So chapter 10 of Daniel is a fascinating passage. It's full of interesting facts, full of instruction. And what I plan to do is go through the physical and spiritual context of this verse, verse 12, consider Daniel's role, and look at the elements for praying successfully. So Daniel has set himself to pray to the Lord, to seek the Lord's face. It is in 6th century BC. That's over 500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And he is praying, he is seeking the Lord about the nation of Israel, about the children of Israel. He is alarmed, he's deeply concerned. Israel at this point is at a very low ebb. It is in captivity. It went into captivity at the very end of the 7th century BC. Daniel was one of the people first taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Babylon now has fallen to the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus is the emperor. So the Medo-Persian dominion has been merged with what was a Babylonian empire. But still, Israel is in captivity. But something quite extraordinary happened. Cyrus has issued an edict to give religious liberty. People that were captives could return and build their own temple. And he says specifically of Israel that they should go and build the house of God in Jerusalem. Cynics have scoffed at this. Over 500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ and a worldwide power is releasing captives to go back to the homeland and to build their house of worship. But interestingly, even now we can go to the British Museum and Cyrus' edict, the cylinder of clay, can be viewed where he allowed Israelites to return. So this has happened, it's extraordinary, but still there's a great concern because it's only a minority, a proportion of Israelites who did return to Jerusalem. They were building, they're being interfered with by the Samaritans who were not allowed to join in this venture, but they've been harassed by the Samaritans. The Samaritans are making their own demonstration, presentation to the Persian Empire to say, do not let these Israelites continue to build. They will be a threat. They will become independent. The aged Israelites, amongst those who've returned, have seen the progress so far, and they're mourning because they're thinking about the temple how it was before. Before the temple was destroyed, before Jerusalem, the city of God was destroyed, and they see it is small. It's not as good, as glorious as it once was. Progress in rebuilding the temple is slow. Daniel's great concern is, what has happened to Israel? Has God forgotten his covenant with Israel? And what about the Savior who was supposed to come through Israel, who was prophesied, promised that through Israel there would be a Savior not just for Israel, but for the whole world? Has God forsaken it? So Daniel sets his heart towards the Lord in prayer. And we see that from the beginning of this chapter, chapter 10. He's fasting. He's very serious. Deep concern. But there's encouragement. And the encouragement starts in this verse. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So he's been approached by a spiritual being. The following verse, verse 13, explains why there seemed to be a delay of 3 whole weeks. Verse 13 has been considered by many to be the most mysterious verse in the Old Testament. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. This is giving an insight to the spiritual warfare, as well as being one of the most mysterious. Verses 12 and 13 is probably the most precious of verses to me personally, because it was these verses that the Lord helped me to understand the spiritual realm in a way that I'd never understood it before. I had a faulty, inadequate view of God's sovereignty. I was brought up in a God-fearing home, taken to church every Sunday, never doubted the Bible to be the word of God. I thought God to be sovereign, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, never doubted it. I saw it's my duty to do my best, and the Lord will take care of the rest. But upon reading these verses, the Lord opened my understanding to a vicious, a terrible warfare happening in the spiritual realm. It was shocking that God would send what would appear to be an angel to Daniel, and we read in verse 13, that angel was withstood. What we're reading of is a resistance to God's will, to God's decrees. How does that settle? How does that fit with God being all sovereign, all powerful, almighty? There is a very mighty adversary to God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. And this really opened my eyes to it. Also, when you read chapter 10, one thing that might strike you is that the spiritual realm is interacting with the physical realm. It becomes abundantly clear what has happened in the spiritual realm is affecting what has happened in the physical realm. And as we consider the elements of a successful prayer, what hopefully will become apparent to you is that praying successfully has a consequence, has an effect in the spiritual realm. So I was dwelling on these verses. God has given me a fresh insight into this ferocious warfare happening in the spiritual realm. Then the question came to me, what is happening in the physical? It became apparent that there was actually a warfare against God, against his decrees in the physical realm. Then a further question hit me, and this shook me severely. Where did I stand in this warfare? This church attending person from childhood who never doubted God's word, who never doubted Jesus Christ as Lord, where did I stand? And to all horrors, it became apparent to me that I was on the wrong side, fighting against the Lord. But God in his grace led me to cry out to him for his mercy, led me to pray in a way that I had never prayed before. Previously, I only prayed for physical, material things, but now I prayed for my soul, that the Lord would save me. And it was some days later that I felt the burden of my sin, what separated me from God, lifted. And as I came to put my trust in what God had done to save me, not what I could do, through Christ Jesus, I had an assurance that I had switched sides and realized I was not born as a Christian, rather born a sinner far from God. And God used this to open my eyes and give me a new understanding I never had. So we turn into Daniel 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Here what we have is a summary of the elements for praying successfully, for knowing that you would be heard. The first to be considered, fear not, in the verse, and that speaks of godly fear. Bible tells us often that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. To fear God is good. It is right. But here we have Daniel, who's in terror. He's even actually at the point of death. And several times through the chapter 10, we find that he has to be revived. It's interesting, because when we look from verse 4, he looks like he's literally translated into this vision. The visions that Daniel have, the prophet of the Lord, seem to be progressive. We start from the beginning of the book of Daniel, when Daniel is interpreting a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. But here, in this last vision, he actually says he was by the river and he saw a sight that terrified him. It's as though that he's actually there, translated into this vision. And what really strikes him? It's a very interesting passage, and you can read a lot of different commentaries, different godly men who have got slightly different interpretations of what's going on here. I'm not going to bother to talk about all the different possible interpretations, but each one doesn't detract from prayer and spiritual warfare. But I'll put it to you, what he saw in verses 4-6 was a pre-incarnate Christ, a theophany. This was Jesus Christ before he came in the flesh. When we read it, when we read verses 5 and 6, we may be struck by the similarity of Revelation 1. It's quite a similar description. Also, what's described here is what he's wearing, which symbolizes the offices of Jesus Christ. In verse 5, he's clothed in linen, which speaks of his office as a priest. In verse 5 also, he has a waist girded with gold, which speaks of his office of being a king. If you look at verse 6, it talks about his appearance of lightning, his eyes, as a lamp of fire. And what about his voice? A voice of a multitude. This is mentioned a couple of times in Ezekiel and in Revelation. For the Lord, his voice, like the voice of a multitude. In verse 7, we see Daniel is greatly alarmed. Daniel, as I say, is quite an elderly man by this point. But in verse 8, Daniel describes their parents as great. And it would appear that at this point, he greatly ages. His body is decaying. He's at the point of death. In verse 9 and 10, the theophany stuns Daniel. The voice of this appearance. So then, the first element for praying successfully is the fear of the Lord. It is good. But what we have here is Daniel was at the point of terror, unable to even receive the revelation that he so dearly sought. So he's told, fear not. He's encouraged. The second element is sincerity. Sincerity in prayer. And in the same verse it says, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. And what we see here is Daniel's perseverance. For 3 whole weeks, he's praying, he's seeking the Lord. He's deeply concerned for the Lord's people. He's deeply concerned about the covenant. He's deeply concerned about the coming Messiah. Is the Messiah coming? In James chapter 1, 6 and 7, it speaks of man who wavers. Who wavers like a wave driven by the wind. And what does the Lord say through these verses? That such a man should not think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. It makes me think of how many lost souls are there who have prayed to the Lord for forgiveness, have believed they've not been heard, maybe they think the Lord is not interested in them, and have stopped and gone back to how they were living without the Lord. In their minds, they've done their part. But the truth of the matter is, we've been sinning, rebelling against God far longer than we've been praying to be saved. So why give up? Is it because we don't see the urgency? Is it because we think there's another way that we may find full satisfaction in this world? Or is there another way that we can ensure our eternity? There isn't. For anyone here who has prayed to the Lord and has thought nothing has happened, the second element is sincerity. God complains about the Israelites in Isaiah. He says that they're not sincere. They're praying, but in this prophet, what the Lord says, he's looking at the heart. He says they're not praying with their hearts. They're paying the Lord lip service. The Lord sees it. Moses in Deuteronomy was preaching his last sermons before the children of Israel went into the promised land. And one of the things he said, quite interesting, he prophesied and says, the children of Israel will sin against the Lord. They will turn their backs against the Lord. But then he encourages them, if thou will seek the Lord God, if thou would seek him with all their heart and all their soul, the Lord will hear them. So Moses is telling the children of Israel, even though when you rebel against the Lord and you sin, if you would seek the Lord with all your heart, the Lord will hear and be merciful. David, in Psalm 40, he speaks of what happened when he patiently waited on the Lord. And it says, the Lord inclined unto me and heard my cry. Jeremiah 29:13 encourages us in prayer. He shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. We think of Nathanael before he was called by Jesus Christ as a disciple, and Jesus Christ commended him for his sincerity. Sincerity in prayer is speaking to the Lord plainly and from your heart. That's the second element in this verse. The third is God's will. Praying according to God's will. What we find in verse 12, Daniel set his heart to understand. He couldn't understand what was happening to the Lord's people. He's also concerned about his role. He wasn't one of the people to return. There are some who criticize him for that. But he's seeking the Lord for his will. He's seeking the Lord to know what should his role be in all of this. Daniel was right to stay where he was. He was an aged man. He was not going to be one who was going to help physically rebuild the temple. But he was a prophet. He was a prayerful man. He was a man of influence. But he was concerned about knowing God's will, and he prayed for his will. In 1 John chapter 5, it says, he prayed to his own God, praying according to his will. Sorry, we know, says John, that if we ask anything according to God's will, he will hear us. One of the elements of successful praying, and it's one of the hardest really, is to try and set aside our own personal desires, our own personal ambitions, and put the Lord first. This is praying according to God's will. So the first element was godly fear. The second element is sincerity in praying. The third is praying according to God's will, desiring that God's will be done. The fourth is personal responsibility. And we see it in verse 12. Daniel chastened himself. And it was acknowledged in this verse. Daniel prayed not just for the nation of Israel, their sins that took them into bondage, that led them to be captive, but he also prayed, humbled himself before the Lord. As we know, God will not hear any prayer from anyone that regards sin in their hearts. It is so important to search ourselves when we come before the Lord. Is there anything in our hearts, in our lives, that is causing the Lord to be displeased with us? We shouldn't be those when we sin, we blame others for that sin. We shouldn't be those who neglect personal holiness and think that is covered because we are engaged in so-called powerful prayer. There are those on their phones who may tune into YouTube and have somebody else praying supposedly powerfully and have that playing, thinking that's doing something in the spiritual realm. There may be people going to night vigil, praying through the night, but during the day, they may be lying, they may be stealing, they may be holding hate in their hearts. So this so-called powerful praying that one may be engaged in doesn't take away our own personal responsibility. Daniel chastened himself. He was deeply concerned about the Lord's people, and he chastened himself. The fifth element, still in verse 12, is just in two words, where it says, Daniel chased himself before thy God. Daniel had faith in God, and that's the fifth element. He was not just seeking understanding from the creator of heaven and earth, from the Almighty God, from the God that has none to be compared with. He was seeking understanding from his God, to the one that he had submitted his life to the one that he had brought faith, his faith to, his reliance on, to the one he looked to for full satisfaction and direction in this life. We're reminded of those very alarming words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 7, where he says, "Not everyone that calls unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's those who do the will of my Father." And in that passage, clearly the Lord Jesus is not speaking to those who follow other religions. The Lord Jesus is not speaking about those who have no faith, but possibly to those who have deceived themselves that they are trusting in the Lord. They are following after Jesus Christ. But what does Jesus Christ say to them? "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." And he says, "I never knew you." Daniel prayed to his God. And that's the fifth element of praying successfully. The last element, the sixth, comes at the end of verse 12. He chastened himself before his God. "Thy words were heard. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." This is quite a controversial part, because there are many who think fighting the spiritual warfare, praying successfully, is speaking in words that are not understood. But here we find Daniel was praying with a rational prayer, a prayer that was engaging his mind. He was speaking about his concern, the things that were on his heart. He was speaking plainly, and the Lord God responded to his words. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." The sixth and final element for praying successfully is praying with understanding, praying with words. So we had number one, godly fear. Number two, sincerity in praying. Number three, praying according to God's will. Number four, personal responsibility. Number five, faith in God, praying to your God. And number six, rational prayer. Have we been praying successfully? Have you known answers to your prayer? We can think about a definition of prayer that John Bunyan gave, the famous author of Pilgrim's Progress. He was in prison in 1660 for preaching. And while he was there, as well as authoring the famous title Pilgrim's Progress, he also wrote his meditations on prayer. And his definition of prayer, I think, are very apt. He said, "Praying is praying sincerely, sensibly, and affectionately. It is affectionately pouring out your heart, your soul to God through Christ Jesus with the assistance and help of the Holy Spirit." Then he goes on further about what you should pray about. Pray about what God has promised. Pray according to God's will. Pray for his church. And pray in submission to the will of God. So we've heard the elements of successful praying. What should we be praying about? I'll put it to you. Number one, you should be praying about your own souls. Your own soul that never dies. When your body dies on this earth, your soul continues. And scripture is very clear. There are two destinations only for your soul. Heaven or hell. These are real places. If you've known the Lord's mercy, you've known the Lord's grace, God has blessed you, then you have a responsibility to pray for souls. Not just for your relatives, your friends, but souls more generally. Souls in this community. Souls of adults that they may come in and hear the gospel. Souls of children that they may come to Sunday school and hear the gospel and be converted. Souls up and down this nation, that the Lord would do a new work and that we may see a revival. We can pray big prayers. As we've seen with Daniel, our prayers, particularly if it contains these elements for praying successfully, have an effect on the spiritual realm. We can pray for our own local church, praying that more souls come in, praying for this church, that even the physical building may be extended. I saw it on the website, there are plans for this church building to be extended. Can we pray about that? What about the parking needs of the church? We can pray about practical things. We can pray about local churches up and down this country. There's still church buildings, there's still gatherings, but no gospel. Churches, by and large, are not proclaiming the gospel, making clear the way of salvation. How can you, a sinner outside the kingdom of God, enter the kingdom of God? Nice social gathering, but no clear gospel. Can we pray about that? There's much to pray for. Pray for your own soul. Pray for the souls of others. And the Lord has promised to answer sincere and legitimate prayers. One thing I didn't cover was this supposed delay. And from the message, the encouragement is not to give up praying. You may have been praying for loved ones for 30 years. I'm in that category. I continue to pray. Do you continue to pray? Here, Daniel prayed for three full weeks. And to his mind, there was a delay to the Lord's answering. But the Lord said to Daniel, from the very first day you prayed, your prayers was answered, and I was sent unto you. But he waited for 3 full weeks. In verse 13, it talks about why there was a supposed delay, but I put it to you, there was no delay. Daniel was concerned about the security of Israel. The Lord sent the angel of the Lord effectively in answer to his prayer to Persia to deal with the prince of Persia, which is a high-ranking fallen angel. It was only when Archangel Michael came to assist, and for some people, that's an indication that this was not a theophany, not a pre-incarnate Christ, because an angel, which they considered to be superior, came to help. But we know that the Lord can use people, can use angels. So the Archangel Michael came, and it was at the point that the security of Israel was assured that the angel of the Lord then went to Daniel. There was no delay, but Daniel did not know that. So you've been praying days, weeks, years, wondering if the Lord is answering or not. And it could be very well, the Lord has answered your prayers. The Lord is answering your prayers. And what is your role? To keep praying sincerely and legitimate prayers. Let's pray together. Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this great facility that we have, that we can come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can come to thee who is most high with simple prayers, laying out what is on our hearts plainly to thee. Oh Lord, we thank thee. We are so unworthy and thou art so merciful. We pray that thou would guide us, even as we pray, that would change our hearts, that we would be more like thy eternally begotten Son, even while he was on earth. We really took time out to pray to thee, that we may take up this example and never tire, never be distracted by the wiles of the enemy of souls, but we would pray, none ceasing. Oh Lord, we bring our petitions to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.